Right, now on to my guest. Now, poor mental health can affect people of any gender, but mental health outcomes for men and women aren't equal. Due to societal expectations of masculinity, men are less likely to talk about their feelings to others, so they tend to suffer in silence. Now, Philip Wareham is a counsellor and psychotherapist and is here today to talk about men's mental health and his Men Don't Talk mental health campaign. Hi, Philip. Welcome along.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in today. First of all, maybe you could tell us a bit about yourself. How did you get involved in mental health as a career?
Well, thanks, Bob, first of all, for having me on the show.
Oh, you're
welcome. Very much appreciated. My background was actually in the hospitality industry.
Really?
Mainly in the wine trade, with music also being very much a part of my social life,
yeah.
Playing in bands and DJing.
Oh, what did you play?
Oh, I played ska.
Yeah, right. No, I meant the instrument.
Ah, guitar and sax.
Ah, right.
And percussion.
Oh, wow.
And singing.
Wow. Do you still do that?
Not now. No, I'm sticking to the DJing these days.
Oh, good man.
Which I'm enjoying very much.
Good.
But yes, on to the career change.
Yeah.
It was actually my wife, Linva, a very experienced counsellor and psychotherapist in Chelmsford, who suggested I retrain. So having completed my courses, I decided to specialise, so I'm looking at men, men's communication, the workplace, and undiagnosed ADHD.
Okay, yeah. Is that something that you're specifically interested in then? Why did you sort of specialise in that?
Well, the idea behind Men Don't Talk is principally that we don't.
No.
Women
no.
tend to talk to each other, they have better support groups.
Yeah.
Whereas men, we go down to the pub, we play golf, we go to the football, whatever it is you're interested in, and this is all walks of life, all kinds of guys,
yeah.
we tend to bottle things up.
Sure.
We talk about anything but the things that really matter.
That's right, yes. So we're talking specifically about men's mental health today, and as you've really said, it's been known for some time that men can be reluctant to open up about their mental health. There does seem to be a bit more help out there nowadays, though, although accessing public services can be difficult. Do you think things are improving at all?
I think things are improving. Mm. The very fact that we're here today, Bob, I think says yeah. a lot about that. Because years ago, I don't think we would have had a platform, either you or I, to even discuss this.
No.
I don't think it would have been seen as appropriate for a radio station or for anybody else to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I think we're moving on. We're definitely starting to deal with this. And I think since lockdown, there have been some big improvements in this. We've realised the effect that lockdown had on people's mental health.
Right.
And I think particularly, you know, we've looked at children, we've looked at the effect on them. But I think what I'm looking at here now is, shall we say, older men who perhaps when they were growing up would never have even thought about discussing mental health.
That's right. So this month you're launching your Men Don't Talk campaign. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, indeed. I mean, essentially, Men Don't Talk it's a hashtag, which, frankly, is it's been used before,
right?
But I came across it and I thought this is definitely something that we need to have a look at.
Mm.
Hashtags are very popular these days.
Oh, yeah.
And I think because of that, it's important that we do actually hang something on it. We've got a coat to hang on.
Okay.
So what I'm doing is I'm looking at the opportunities for people to get in touch with me for personal counselling. But I'm reaching out now, and I'm doing this very much with the help of Essex Business Partnership,
okay.
to local companies in Essex, generally around here, Brentwood, Chelmsford, and so on.
Yeah.
So I can go in and talk to them, the HR departments and so on, and look at the possibility of maybe some in-house counselling or helping individuals in the workplace who perhaps are struggling.
Yeah.
With various issues. They're not talking about maybe their workplace problems, that maybe they've got problems at home and so on. But we keep coming back to this notion that men are just not willing to talk.
Sure.
But I think we're now in a position where we can say to people, look, it's okay, guys, we can talk. It's not a bad thing. It's good to open up.
That's right. And as you say, I think things have got a lot better lately with some of it. There are lots of clubs and organisations that bring men together. And just for the purposes of talk, there's one locally, I think, called Andy's Man Club.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Yes. But you specifically intend to actually go into businesses and chat to the employees there, ultimately, do you? Yeah?
That's the intention. I'm actually actively talking to a couple of HR departments within companies in Essex now.
Lovely.
I've got meetings over the next couple of weeks. And I think as we start to reach out, we're going to see more and more companies realising that it's much better to deal with it.
Definitely.
Within the workplace. Rather than attempt to ignore it, or even worse, where people end up losing their jobs because they're not performing to the best of their ability. And this is very often something which can be addressed within the workplace.
Yeah. And of course, that's at a cost to the business as well. If someone has to go sick or whatever, or even retire or whatever, if you could nip it in the bud early on. By talking,
yeah. Absolutely. And that is very much it. You know, hiring and firing people is very, very expensive. And also it doesn't have a good effect within the company. And I think this is very much something that people are realising now. So to that end, I'm actually talking to a company next week about this very subject. And they've approached me following a meeting through Essex Business Partnership.
Excellent. Yeah.
So again, this is it. We're getting out there, we're talking, and we're getting people to communicate.
Yeah. So can you give us an idea of the sort of format? Let's assume you get to the stage where you're talking to the employees. Are you talking to them in a group, or are you sort of inviting people to come to you individually? Or?
I think this is very much a kind of suck it and see approach.
Yeah.
When companies bring anyone in from outside for any kind of therapy or health-related issue, I think it's very much down to the individual. Some people like talking in groups, and some people, it really helps to bring them out.
Yeah.
Some people are very, very private, and for them to even open up to a counsellor is already a huge step.
Yeah.
And I think we need to remember the biggest step in counselling is making that first appointment, whether it's privately or through the company. But I'm open to either. I like talking in groups because I see when you look round, you know, we're taught in counselling, you look round at people and you can see the ones who really want to say something, but historically have always been the ones who've held back.
Yeah.
So they may need a little bit of help, but then could come back to a group later and could become the stars of the group and help other people.
Absolutely.
So it's all down to the individual and the way. But it's getting people to talk.
Yeah, lovely. Now, you're also going to be rolling out awareness of OCD and ADHD, especially that which remains undiagnosed.
Tell us
about that.
Yes, that's something which I've been looking at over the last 6 months. I've been doing a course. It's an add-on course. Running very much in tandem with the workplace. Mm. ADHD is something which I think we all hear about on an almost daily basis, and I'm sure we all know somebody who's got children at school who remain undiagnosed because unfortunately the child is not diagnosed in school.
Mm.
They have to wait until they've left school and they need to have a diagnosis from a health professional.
Yeah.
This is not something that we as counsellors can do, but we can help once ADHD has been diagnosed. So I've been studying this with a particular bent on people who have remained undiagnosed within the workplace, because it starts very young.
Yeah,
it's from birth. It's not recognised, unfortunately, as a disability yet, but that is being worked on, and I think in time it will be recognised officially as a disability.
And there's a lot of adults out there walking about with undiagnosed ADHD and OCD, I think, as well, isn't there?
There's an enormous number, and in fact it's something that I've been looking at in tandem with my wife's business, because she deals with quite a number of parents who have got children with ADHD, and they come to her for help because they need an outlet. They need to find something, and also an avenue to get their children diagnosed. But as you say, quite rightly, Bob, in the workplace, these people have had ADHD for a long time.
Mm.
And very often it manifests itself in people's performance.
Mm.
They can't finish tasks.
Mm.
They start something, they don't finish it. Poor timekeeping, getting overloaded and overwhelmed with work. So this, again, is something I think we need to look at.
Mm.
Because once it's diagnosed, once it's people realise what's wrong, we can then look at addressing the actual issues with diversion therapies and so on.
Okay. I've not heard of that one. Diversion therapies? What's that one?
Well, it sounds very interesting. It's simply looking at the way that people approach their lives and finding other ways. There's cognitive behavioural therapy is one way, and also neuro-linguistic programming is another. And these are very popular within companies already, but that's very often to deal with other problems. And I think with ADHD, it's something we could look at very seriously.
Okay. Very interesting. Now, I'm very keen that you get out everything, all the information out there that you want to get out. Have I missed anything?
I don't think so. No, I don't think we need any more about the about that. My website is chelmsfordcounsellor.com.
Lovely.
And the Chelmsford Counselling Practice, which my wife runs, and is very good for couples counselling, particularly with areas where either one or the other partner is struggling with these kinds of issues.
Right.
That is chelmsfordcounselling.com.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure we put those details on our website so that if people want to contact you, they can. And thanks very much for coming in today, Philip, and good luck with your campaign. I hope it all goes very well. Very worthy indeed. It's something that I've got a lot of time for. I've had issues in the past myself, and counselling has helped me, both group and face-to-face counselling. And here I'm sitting on the radio, so there you go.
Well, that's great to hear, and to open up about the fact that you've had counselling. Yeah. I have as well.
Yeah.
I found it extremely beneficial, and I would say to everybody, get out there and get some counselling if you need it. And thank you very much, Bob, for having me on.
You're more than welcome. That's Philip Wareham. Thank you so much. Cheers now. Bye-bye.